see in the Gideons. So we're very grateful and shall always be. Amen.
Amen, amen. Wouldn't it be awesome if every Gideon Bible was stolen today? You will replace it. Awesome. My word will not return void. And that is what we pray and believe as we place these Gideon Bibles. And as we believe here at Flag Church, it's all about getting people into God's word. And we've heard story after story of how people's lives have been transformed just by spending time in God's word. And that is what the Gideons get to do. And we are so privileged to partner with them. And Jacob Lehman will be actually at the back after service. And one of the things that the Gideons do is they just have an open Bible. And if you feel led and God's tugging at your heart to invest in this ministry this morning, we ask that you would drop cash in their Bible. Now, you may be a person that doesn't carry cash, but they're prepared. They've got a bulletin that has information about their ministry that has a QR code in the back that you can take with you, and you can scan that QR code. That'll give you an opportunity to invest in the Gideon's ministry and to continue to do the work that God has called them to do. So thank you once again for investing in our community. Hey, good morning again. If this is your first Sunday here, my name is Pastor Anthony. Excited that you are joining us this morning, and also like to welcome all of you that are joining us from Fort Scott and also online this morning. And we are continuing our series talking about prayer in Jesus' name. And we've been talking a lot about altars and how God has called us to the altar, and how it is important for us to come back to building altars in our life, and how it plays a huge impact in who we become, which is being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus. So one of the things that we've done each Sunday is that we have begun service or the portion of our message with praying the Lord's Prayer. So if you wouldn't mind at this time, stand to your feet, and we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together as a body of believers. Do that with me right now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And we've been encouraging you. You may be seated. Thank you. We've been encouraging you guys to pray the Lord's Prayer daily in your time with God, as you spend time, as you open your day in prayer. And we've been praying and believing that as you pray this prayer, it doesn't just become a ritualistic prayer, but it becomes a prayer that comes alive, that brings meaning and vibrancy to your life. And we're just praying and believing that for you and letting God just work through prayer in your life. Just to kind of recap, and by the way, if you've missed any of our messages, we encourage you to go check out our Flag Church app or our website, and you can pick up on any of the messages that you missed out on. But just to recap, the altar, and we talked about, is a safe place, a place that you want to run to, not run from. It's a place that we get to meet with the Father, where we have access to encounter his presence. The altar is, I know I met a person that watches us online, and they were like, man, you got us when you said the altar was a place of death. It shocked us a little bit, and then we truly understood what that meant. The altar is a place of death where we get to die to our old self and come alive to our new selves, and it's a place of beauty that emerges out of the ashes. The altar is a place of power where we have the community altar, where two or three are gathered together. Jesus says, I am there, and his power and his presence is there. And it's a place where we as believers can come together to hold each other up, to pray for each other, to support each other. And it's a place where there we experience the presence of God and the power of God. The altar It's a place of transformation. The Salvation Altar, and Pastor Eli did an outstanding job unpacking that last week as he talked about the Salvation Altar, but it's a transformation that starts to happen in our hearts and in our lives. It is the change that starts to happen, the sanctification for us and for others that start to happen. But this morning, I want us to take a few minutes and spend some time talking about the Miracle Altar. The Miracle Altar, the altar where it's a place of power, a place of strength, and a place of authority. A place of power, a place of strength, and a place of authority. God's power, strength, and authority for me first. Okay, it is for me first because it all revolves around me. I am a conduit of God's grace, a conduit of God's power, a conduit of God's authority. So it's for me first and then for them. God has called us, like he said, the Great Commission is to go into all the world and proclaim the good news, to set the captives free. And so we have a commissioning that has been placed on our lives. The moment we step into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is stepping into a mission field where God is saying, I've called you now, I've set you free now, now I'm sending you so that you may go and you may set the captives free. So for me first, and then for them. So this morning, I want us to spend a little bit of time kind of unpacking this whole concept of the power and the strength and the authority. And we always go back to Jesus and to see how Jesus navigated this when he walked this earth. And so if you have your Bibles with me, if you want to turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read God's word here, Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and this will not be on the screen, so if you have your Bibles, if you turn with me, or if you can go to your digital devices, you can turn there as well, or go to that spot. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and we see that Jesus is healing a paralytic man. Jesus is healing. Now, this is not something that you just see happening. So it is something that gets people's attention because it's not something that you walk around every day seeing happening. And it was not something that the people in the time of Jesus saw happening as well. And so Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tile into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Now, you may be like, what, did you just take the roof off? And in those days, basically, the roofs were built with these timbers, and there was twigs and clay that they used to create these tiles. And so it was very easy to remove these tiles and replace them. So that was what was happening. They couldn't get this guy to Jesus because he was in the middle of the room, crowded with people. So they raise the roof, and they lower him in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And immediately the religious leaders all get all worried, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. He picked up what he was laying on, and he walked home praising God. I think this morning a lot of us are laying on things that are holding us because we can't walk on our own because of things that have brought us down, that have crippled us, that have caused addictions or habits or lifestyles that are kind of holding us back, maybe hurts and pains that are causing us to lay on our mats. But Jesus said to this man, pick up your mat and walk, and immediately stood up in front of them, took up what he was holding or what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen a remarkable thing today. We've seen a remarkable thing today. So I want to focus this morning, and we'll unpack this, but I want to focus on that first piece of scripture in verse 17, and that'll be on your screen. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, and they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. There was power that Jesus had in that moment to heal the sick. The power of the Lord is translated. The word is translated. Power in the Greek is dunamis. And this is how we get the word dynamite today that we use. Okay, when you think of dynamite, what do you think of? A lot of power that explodes, right? Explosive power, right? But the Greek word that is used for the word power is dunamis, which means power, but not just any power. A miraculous power, a power that doesn't make sense for humans to understand. A power that is not equivalent to human power. A power that comes from another place that is more powerful than we can wrap our heads around. A miraculous power. A might, a strength that we see happening with this dunamis power, not an earthly power that we tend to hold on to, an earthly power that we think that we have control over all things, that we can do everything, right? Because as human beings, we think we have power. But what the scripture is saying is there was a different kind of power in that place that Jesus had that was available to heal the sick. A heavenly power given to him by his heavenly Father. If you're reading through our reading plan in Psalm chapter 20, verse 6, which was yesterday's reading, you would have read this, but it says, now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Once we become children of the living God, God says, you know what? I'm seated at the right hand. God is seated in his heavenly throne, and he's saying, I have power that is victorious that I want to give to you and me. And why does he want us to have this power? It's because of what we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. In Ephesians 6, 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world. Against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. My friends, you may not understand this right now. You may go, man, this seems like a fairy tale. But let me tell you, there is a power, an evil power that is controlled by the devil that who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, who comes to put you in chains, who comes to put you in captivity, who comes to destroy your life. And we need the power, the heavenly power that is available to us so that we can be set free from this power that the devil has us wrapped around. And the Father is saying, man, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, I have this power when you ask for it. Dunamis power. Dunamis in the Bible, the Greek word, is translated in the English Bible using various words. And we see, for instance, when Jesus healed this woman with a blood disorder. This woman had this blood disorder for 12 years. She was walking around with this blood disorder for 12 years. What are you walking around with today that you feel like, man, you know what? I'm just going to live with it. Is it possible that Jesus wants to heal you from that this morning? She was walking around with this blood disorder for 12 years, and the King James in Mark chapter 5, verse 20, translates dunamis as virtue, flowing from Jesus to the woman. The NIV says it this way: the power flowed out of him to heal this woman with this blood disorder. There was a transference of power through Jesus that was able to set this woman free from this blood disorder. The word dunamis is also used to describe miracles. The Apostle Paul says that God's plan of salvation is identified in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, by signs, by wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit. So which means the Holy Spirit has gifts that gives us power that enables us to then validate the gospel message, the salvation message that Jesus has. So it says, by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The reason that Jesus performed many of his miracles was so that he can bring glory to the Father, so that he can validate the gospel message. God, this God-given power is for salvation and to set the captives free. It is for salvation and to set the captives free. The miracles came not only as a blessing to those in need, but also that the message would gain credibility. God often does miracles not only to heal our physical blindness or our physical ailments, but also to heal our spiritual blindness and our spiritual ailments that we have. 2 weeks ago, I shared the story of the father that brought his son to the disciples and asked them if they could heal him from this demon that had invaded his life. And the disciples did not have the power. And then he comes to Jesus and he looks to Jesus and he says, if you can, will you heal my son? And Jesus goes, if I can. And then the father says, man, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. And so what does Jesus do? He heals his boy. What do you think happened to that father's belief that day? What do you think happened to the gospel message in his heart that day? What do you think happened to all the bystanders that were watching Jesus heal this father's son that day? Believe. I believe, but help my unbelief. So coming back to Luke chapter 5, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. What did he do with that power that the Father had given him that day? What did Jesus do? In verse 24, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home. What did he do? Praising God. Giving God glory. Praising God and saying, man, praise be to God because he has healed me. He has set me free from the crippleness that has been holding me back. And then what happened? Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. People that were doubting, people that did not believe, people that had unbelief were praising God and saying, wow, this is amazing. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. We have seen a miracle today. We have seen the display of power today that is outside of our understanding. When was the last time that you were exposed to that power? When was the last time that you were like, wow, God is so amazing. Have we got so comfortable living within what we can wrap our head around so we can be in control? Because when we can't control it, we get uncomfortable, right? And so we choose not to trust and to believe for what God wants to do in us and through us. Let me kind of take a little detour here and kind of ask some questions. But we see that there was this paralyzed man. We see that there was this boy that was demon-possessed. We see this woman with a blood disorder. Why do we have brokenness? Why do we have the hopelessness in our life? Why do we have this? Why do we have suffering and loss in our life? Why do we have addictions and hurts? Why do we have habits that control us that we want to get away from but we can't? Why? Two reasons. One is because of our personal sins that is in our lives. We all have sins that we commit on a daily basis. We do things that are not honoring to God. It's our personal sins that then have consequences to what we do. And when we step into those things, there are consequences, good or bad. Second is the sin nature, not sins, but the sin nature that we live in because of the fall of man when Adam and Eve sinned, and the sin that entered into this world that destroyed all of creation. All of creation, Romans chapter 8, Paul says, is groaning and waiting on the redemptive Savior to come redeem them from the brokenness of sin. That is why, friends, we have the brokenness. That is why we have the hurt. That is why we have the struggle, the addictions and the hurt. But Jesus stepped into this brokenness and he died a criminal's death to pay the ultimate price, the penalty for you and my sins. Jesus died and he came to set us free from the sin nature, not just our personal sins, but the whole gamut of sin, the sin nature, to redeem all of creation. And so he died on that cross and was buried in the tomb. But here is the good news. It did not end there. It did not end there. Because the power of God, the resurrection power that was available, that power of God that showed up to raise Jesus from the dead, to bring new life, to bring him alive, to start the new covenant that we have today to live in, the promise, the hope that we have, we find that because of the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. But here's the thing, here's the good news. The power of God that resurrected Jesus from the dead did not go with Jesus, but it stayed here for you and me. That resurrection power is available for you and me so that we can be raised from the dead, so we can be set free from our captivity, so we can break open the chains that are not us, but the power will break the chains that are holding us down. And that we can experience the miracle power that rose Jesus from the dead. Does that excite you? Or are you just sitting there going, oh yeah, good. Do you realize that we have that power? What is preventing you from tapping into that power? Is it possible that you haven't experienced it? Because God's word says, taste and see that I am good. Once you taste it and you see that it is good, now you go, man, I understand because I've seen it. It is real. Man, now let me bring this to you. Or do we walk with our own power saying, hey, let me set you free by my power? Doesn't work. We try, but it keeps failing. That miracle power did not just go with Jesus. It stayed here. It stayed here for you and me. It is available for those of us that want to tap into it, to be set free for ourselves first, for me first, and then to set the captives free. Jesus ascended to heaven. And so we pick up in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, we see a passage of scripture where we see the disciples. Remember, the disciples were struggling to work the miracle. They were struggling to heal the boy when Jesus was here. But something shifted, and we'll talk more about that here in the next 3 weeks when we unpack Pentecostal Sunday. But something shifted. What shifted was is there was a power that they received. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, then Peter, now this is another crippled man. Peter and John are coming to the temple to pray at 3 in the evening, and there is this crippled man, another crippled man, sitting at the gates of the temple waiting and begging and hoping that someone will give them some money, so that he can continue to live his life. Living not in fullness, but in partiality, living in brokenness, living in this situation where he feels like this is all I have. So I'm just going to live with it. And so he's begging. And then Peter, and he looks at Peter and John and he says, can you give me some money? Can you help me out here? I mean, you're going to the temple. I mean, all you can do is like help me, right? Give me some money. Help me feel better so I can get a meal. So in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. So what does Peter and John have? What I have, I give you. I'm not going to give you worldly treasures, but I have something even better. I have a power that has been given to me by my Father that I'm going to give you that is way better than the worldly treasure that you want me to give you. Because the worldly treasure that I give you, my power that I give you, that is not the Father's power, will keep you in your same situation. It might give you freedom for a short while, but 10 days later, you're going to be in the same situation. But if I give you what my Father has given you, you will be set free. I have come to set the captives free, right? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The power of Jesus, the resurrection power, is available, and in that power, I ask you to get up and walk, taking him by the right hand. Now, this doesn't say this, but man, I can see this, a transference of power through the disciple, Peter and John. Jesus' power, taking him by the right hand, he helps him up, and instantly, the man's feet and ankle became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping. Because guess what? He was not able to walk for a long time. Now he has, his legs are healed. He's able to walk. He's jumping and he's running and he's excited and praising who? God. Who's praising God today because you are working in the power of God? Who is going, wow, man, that's different. That's not worldly power. That's a heavenly power. And they're praising God. They're praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gates. Who used to. The old is gone and the new has come. The reversal that starts to happen at the cross, the power that is available, the resurrection power that is available to transform us, to take us from our old bondage, our broken self, where we think this is all we have, to going, man, amazing, God has so much more for my life. Used to sit begging at the temple gates called Beautiful. And they were filled, what happened? They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Remember, the miracle is for the spread of the gospel and to set the captives free. Who in your family is doubting God this morning? I mean, look around our world. Everyone is doubting God this morning. Is it possible that the church has gone cold? Man, the New Testament church was on fire. In the name of Jesus, walk. The healing of this disabled man was done by the power and the authority of Jesus working through his disciples, working through the believers, working through you and me that want to see that work through us. Healing, salvation, spiritual growth, pointing others to Jesus and glorifying the Father. This was the purpose of the miracle altar. This was the purpose. God's power and strength and authority for me first and then for them. For me first and then for them. This morning, you may be like, man, this guy is so excited about this and so confident. I hope I am. And the reason is because I was a doubter. I did not believe in miracles and healings. I was one of those people that said, I'm not sure if I believe. Till one day, at a camp altar at Wheat State Camp, when I was a leader leading others into worshiping God, and I was struggling with this basic ailment. Here's the thing that you don't know about me is that, man, I could run around with a broken leg, but if I have a sore throat, I'm out. So don't get me sick that way. I can have a broken arm and I'll be fine. I had dislocated shoulder one time with teenagers at a campsite and I was fine the next day. But give me a sore throat and I'm out. So that's what happened. I had a really bad sore throat, really bad cold, and it was Monday of camp, which means Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday driving home, not good. But camp altars, Monday night, worships happens. Pastor comes up and he's like, hey, this evening I just feel like we need to pray for leaders. I just feel like we need to pray for healing for some leaders. And I'm sitting here going, whoa, this is freaky, weird. This is for the kids, not for the leaders, right? But at that moment I just felt God nudging my heart and said, do you believe that I'm able to? And so, long story short, I stepped up to the altar with a bunch of other leaders. And I so clearly remember standing there, and this pastor, the camp speaker, walked up, and he laid a hand on my head, and he just started to pray. In that moment, and I'm not saying this is how it happens for everyone, this is how it happened to me. So I just want you to understand that. I just felt this warm presence just sweep through my whole body. In that very instant, my sore throat was gone, my body ache was gone, and I was normal. At that moment, I knew that my God was real and that He heals. 2 years ago, Missions Convention, Pastor Tom was here, and I used to play rugby, so my knees are not the best. And so I was having really bad knee problem, this left knee. With Missions Convention, a lot of setup and tear down, and so I messed it up, and it was swollen to the point where I couldn't walk, and it hurt. But ibuprofen saves the day, so you take ibuprofen and you keep going. And I remember Missions Convention Saturday, banquet, powerful Sunday, and as the preacher, the guest preacher who was preaching that day wraps up, and he's finishing up, and I'm standing at the administrative desk, and God's like, do you want your knee healed? I'm like, whoa, hold on. What do you mean? And God's like, I want you to go find the guest speaker and have him pray for you. And so I'm like, okay, this is really weird. But then he reminded me, I healed you before, right? And so as this gentleman walks into Pastor Tom's office, I was like, hey, can I grab you for a second? He's like, yeah, what's up? He's like, I'm having this really bad knee pain, and it's all swollen. It's, it's really bad. And I just feel like God's saying, I want you to pray. Have you pray for me and ask for healing? He's like, let's do it right now. And so he pulls his hat off, which he was wearing a hat. He pulls his hat off and he's like, let's pray. And he starts praying. And after he gets done praying, the pain disappears. The pain is gone. And I'm like, man, praise God, this is awesome. So I go home, I tell my wife, I'm like, man, this is like the coolest thing. And I go to bed, wake up the next morning, there's still swelling, and I feel different, but it's not completely gone. I tell Pastor Tom, man, you're not going to believe what happened. He's like, that's awesome. You should text him and just let him know, just to encourage him. So I text the guy, and I let him know, hey, I want to thank you. The pain's gone, and it's so awesome. And he texts me back, is it all completely gone? And I said, actually, there's a little swelling. Next thing I know, he's calling me, saying, let me just pray for you again. And on the phone, on a Monday afternoon, he's praying for me. As he says, amen, all of the swelling is gone. Can we praise God? Can we praise God? Here's why I want to share this with you. Remember the guy that was here? What did he do? He jumped and he was excited. He was praising God, right? Because God is the miracle worker. It's not any human being. We're just conduits of God's power. We're just conduits of God's power. Are you praising God this morning because of the miracle work that God has done in your life? Has God, when was the last time that you experienced God's miracle in your life? Because is it possible that you're not coming with expectation? Is it possible that you're not coming to the miracle altar believing that God is able to? Man, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, help my unbelief. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and to recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That, my friend, is for you first and then for them. Because once we receive the freedom, the power, the healing, and we taste and see that it is good, and we get excited and we are empowered by God, then we are able to empower others and set others free. Would you stand with me at this time? We're going to go into a time of worship here. The worship team is going to lead us in a chorus, and I'm going to give us some instructions for this morning. Lead us out, team.
Walking